you guys enjoyed it. Was this anybody's first time seeing Pool Party Massacre?
Yeah.
Wow, really? Surprised.
What's that?
Do you have the DVD?
I don't. It's actually, like, out of print. It's sold out. I have one Blu-ray in my shelf, and that's all that's left. There's thousands out there, and I guess I could have more pressed, but I kind of just let it go, and I told myself I wasn't going to make any more until Pool Party Massacre 2 is done and out, because I want to sell it as a box set.
Hell yeah.
And I thought that would help motivate me too, because I get messages at least every week from people that want to buy it, and I don't have anything to sell them. So
hell yeah,
that's part of my motivation, because I do like paying my bills.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to open this up as a Q&A. I have a couple questions for Drew, but there's also something that's really, really cool that Screenbox is also doing. For three people who want to ask a question, have a good question, you guys will be getting 3 months free for Screenbox. Your first 3 months are going to be free on that. So I have a couple of questions,
ask three questions, do you get 9 months?
Hey, I mean, I could probably get
take
that.
All of them.
Hell yeah!
Just kidding. Ask. Go ahead.
Well, I always like to, ask this for people who do multiple things on films and wearing multiple hats. We kind of talked about this last time I had you on the show, but for everybody here, what is it like having to write, direct, and act?
It sucks. to be honest, it's just how I started. It's how I got into film, just with a DIY approach. So I kind of did everything in the beginning. And it's also kind of leans towards my personality type. I don't like to ask people for help either. So it works well for me. My biggest problem is actually letting other people help or asking them to help. Not because I think what I'm doing it the right way. I just don't want to burden anyone with my dumb ideas.
I feel the same way, man.
My dumb movie. Like this movie, was just born from this tiny little seed and was made just very DIY. Had about a $6,000 total shooting budget that wasn't raised. It just kept growing and coming out of mine and my producing partner Brian's pockets. Like every time a new expense came up, we're like, oh crap. We thought the movie was only going to cost $1,000. I guess now it's $2,000.
Yeah.
And it just got a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. So we wore almost all of the hats.
Yeah.
So I'm used, so it's nice now that I act so much in other people's movies, it took a little bit of adjustment, but it's actually really nice to just get flown somewhere and told when to walk on the set and handed a script and just like, this is all I have to do?
Tell them,
and then I can go sit on that couch and like eat cookies? Like, this is amazing.
That's absolutely awesome. This is a feel-good movie for me, and it's for a lot of other people that you've started to realize around the world.
Weirdos.
That everybody likes and loves this movie. And it's so awesome to see the love and appreciation for us, and to have you here to now experience people who haven't seen it
before. Crazy.
And it's great, and I love that you came out. I'm so happy to finally have met you in the flesh. And you wanted to do this, and also huge thanks to Screenbox for everybody that came out. This is absolutely amazing. But my favorite thing about this movie is the use of tools and how you go and make it so fun to see what is he going to pick next. So I know you're hinting at Pool Party Massacre 2. Are we going to have like a similar type vibe with that?
I think there has to be, because that is probably the most common, I guess I call it a compliment that I get from reviewers and podcasters and even just fans of the movie, that's one of the most common things that they liked about it, and that they think that was creative and that they haven't seen that before. And it did create that element of what's he going to use next, which I didn't even know if that would work or if anyone would care. And it was actually prepared almost to edit around it in a way if it didn't work in the flow once I went into post-production, but it did, luckily. But I just thought it was a fun idea.
Oh, yeah.
When I was writing the script, I'm like, oh, I don't think I've ever seen I've seen, we've seen killers use different weapons and improvise, but never to the point where they're literally going to a board full of weapons, and you could see the outline of the ones that are missing, which is inspired by my dad. Like, when I was growing up, my dad had a giant pegboard in our garage with all of his tools on it, much like that, and they were all outlined in Sharpie, and so I did that as a tribute to him, really. And now as an adult, I look back, I get it. It was just so he could tell if I took one of his tools. Like, that was the only, when I was a kid, I'm like, was my dad slow? Like, he doesn't remember where his stuff goes? What an idiot. And now I realize, no, it was just so he could walk by and be like, where's my fucking hammer? You know? So, yeah. But yeah, that was just like a little tribute to my, it's actually, we shot those scenes in my dad's garage. I had to put the pegboard in there because it doesn't exist, like, from my childhood. But like, I put it in my dad's garage and we shot the scenes of my hand grabbing stuff and whatever.
That's so awesome. And congrats on you for making such a really a cult classic when you think of it. And you realizing around the world now, especially going to the UK, seeing so many people there that loved it. And I'm so happy for you to see everything else that you're doing. You got Murder Science that just came out. You got the XXX Mix that's going to be coming out.
Yeah.
And so many awesome things that... It's so great to see from indie filmmakers or, you know, people who are films of indie filming, you know, and to be out there doing multiple things is really, really awesome to see, man.
Thank you. I mean, it's cool to be here. I've always wanted to come to Salem. I mean, I wanted to come here for as long as I can remember. And I've tried to plan trips over the years. And then it got to the point when Pool Party came out, I kind of made a declaration to myself that I wasn't going to come until it was coming for Pool Party Massacre, whether it was in a festival or a screening or for a convention or whatever. And there, at that time, there wasn't one, actually. In 2017, there wasn't a film festival here.
Yeah.
And then it happened, but then the movie was too old to submit, and so I've been waiting. And then so when this, I've been like thinking about going back on my word and just coming here. And then this happened, and so I actually got to come for a screening of Pool Party. So it's amazing. This means a lot to me. To be not just to be here for you guys to be here, but like I finally made it to Salem.
Well, so, I'm so happy to have been.
Salem.
What did you think of Salem?
What did I think of it? It's awesome. I wish I could see more of it. Salem is only open from 11 to 5. So which means I had 6 hours today to see all of Salem, and I didn't get to see all of it yet. Yeah, but I leave tomorrow. So I just have to come back.
Yes.
I got to make another movie and come back.
Well, I'm happy to have you here, man. And seriously, thank you for wanting to do this with me. You know, a small show up there, even with Screenbox, what they've been doing. For everyone who's been coming out to these events, it means a lot for you to be here to support cinema, support people like Drew, for him to be here and realize, oh, people want to watch my shitty movie? Awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
So, honestly, thank you so much, dude. Yeah,
thank you.
And right now, I'm going to open it up to questions for the guests. If you want to walk up or anything like that, or if you want to shout, up to you. Go ahead, Tim.
Do you have a particular favorite murder from the movie? One that just really, once you saw it put together, it's like, yes, that worked exactly the way I hoped.
I did. I had one that I thought was going to be from the beginning, which was the shower kill, which was written completely different. I was supposed to be... Like, I don't know exactly what it's called, but those like sawtooth hedge trimmers that you would cut like a tabletop under your, and it was supposed to cut the shower curtain and her body completely in half, and then it was supposed to fall into two parts, and the effect ended up costing too much at that point. I didn't have an extra $2,000 for him to cast both parts of her body, so then I had to, became a weed whacker. So, but I thought that was going to be because I was so excited to cut someone in half. So then I guess it would end up being, well, maybe at one point in time I would say the hammer, but that the actress that gets the hammer in her mouth is actually my ex-wife now. She was my wife at the time, so she can't be my favorite kill. Just because it sounds morbid and maybe could be used against me in a court of law at some point in time. So I would say the drill, because that's also, it's just a fun one. Like, that was a lot of fun to shoot. Nick, the actor that plays Clay, is just hilarious in real life as well. And it was just a fun challenge. Like, I couldn't actually drill a hole through the wall and into the bathroom. Well, I guess I could have. I was prepared to as a plan B. So I had to build a fake wall and figure out how to shoot it in a way that it didn't look that way. And so far, everyone's just assumed I drilled a hole in the wall, including my parents, whose house, whose bathroom that is, when they came to the premiere. That was the first thing my dad said. He pulled me aside and he's like, "You drilled a hole in my fucking wall?" I was like, "No, I swear to God, I didn't." And he's like, "I'm going to look when I get home. And if I can tell that you patched a hole," I'm like, "You won't, I didn't. I swear to God." So awesome. So I would say the drill kill is now my favorite.
Oh, yeah. Any more?
You just got 3 free months of Screen Box.
Yeah.
You got something to throw at them? Then.
Yeah. All right. All right. I heard someone else say they had a question.
Yeah, right here.
Gail?
Okay. Yep. What are some of your influences? Like, what are your favorites?
Ah. Well, I mean, I love campy, if you can't tell. Like, low budget campy horror is what I. Sleepaway Camp 2 and 3 are like two of my favorite movies ever made. Part 1, less my favorite, just because it's not a, like, they were trying to actually make a real scary, serious movie, even though it doesn't, it kind of falls into this weird gray area, mm-hmm. but you could tell that the intention was, and then by 2 and 3, it wasn't. They threw that out the window, and they're like, you know what, let's just make a batshit crazy movie. What, you know, what, somebody got killed in an outhouse. Okay, that's cool. Let's do it. Like, most of my favorite horror movies are part twos. And it's been a running theme. Yeah, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2,
yeah.
To me, is my favorite of the Texas Chainsaw Massacres. And possibly my... Yeah, it's just amazing. Return of the Living Dead 2.
Oh, okay.
I love... Like, there's so many... Evil Dead 2, but that's different. But yeah, but like in the other ones, like in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, they gave up on it being a serious, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre is a movie that like made people cry because it was so scary at the time when it came out and it terrifies people. And then part two, they're like, how about they're just winning a chili cook-off?
Yeah.
That's cool. And they're in a motorhome and they're laughing about it. Like they just totally threw all that out the window. And those are the movies I love. Like I love the campiness of it. I want to watch a movie to escape and to have fun. Like the way I look at it, like at least I'm not speaking for everyone else, but I have enough problems in my life. Like there's enough shit going on that I could worry about and care about and project my life onto that I want to watch something that's fun. Even if it's people getting cut in half, like I want it to be done in a fun way. And I wanna laugh with them, and I don't want to leave with like this heaviness on my shoulders and like a sadness in my heart when I leave the movie. I want to laugh about it. So those are the kinds of movies where you don't really feel like people are getting killed. Like that's not, you don't have that weight of that. So those are the movies that inspired this, which is why also I intentionally made the characters like deplorable. Like you don't want any one of them to live.
Yeah.
Like even Nancy, who is the final girl, she's amazing. Like she's the best of all of them, I guess. But it's not like you're like, man, she's like an amazing person.
Hell yeah.
She's just better than all of the others who you just want to die. And that was also part of it. I was like, well, you know, I don't want anyone to care about these people. Like, I want them to root for them to get killed and find new ways and care about what weapon they're going to get killed with rather than worry about anything else. So it can just be dumb fun. If anyone watched it. Well, also when I made it, I didn't think anyone would watch it. Like I had no idea that it would even get a release. It was just me making a movie so that I could make a movie, so that I could say that I did it, so I could accomplish that and then move on to whatever, very goal oriented, so then I could move on to whatever my next goal in life was. But I wasn't going to stop until I actually made a feature film. But I literally, once it's done, it could have just been put in a drawer. And I could have moved on, but luckily something in me was like, you know what? I'll set a new goal. And now the new goal is to get this in front of as many people as I can. And then that became my obsession. And then I did that. Like, I self-released it so that I suddenly was pressing Blu-rays and VHS and DVDs and getting action figures made and shirts and hats and lunchboxes. There's Pool Party Massacre lunchboxes out there.
Hell yeah. Somewhere. And a hot sauce now.
And yeah, now there's a freaking hot sauce. Well, it's like
Dean, I'm talking to you, pal.
Yeah, it's like Spaceballs, like when they're talking about merchandising.
Yeah.
Now there's even Pool Party Massacre, the hot sauce.
Yes, yes.
Which I've never seen. I've never held in my hand yet, but I've seen pictures of it.
Yes, same.
And I saw a video of a girl crying because it was so hot on the internet in the UK. Who got to try it, and she cried, which makes me happy.
I'll get one.
Tears of joy, I hope.
Any more? Go ahead.
So, first time viewing, love the pegboard thing. That was amazing.
Thank you.
With the variety of things that were there, was there ever any consideration to the killer grabbing something a little less conventional than like a hammer? Or
yes. I mean, there's a lot of thought that went into what would be on there. And then also in what we could even use practically. Mm-hmm. That's why the hedge trimmer isn't even on there. Because it didn't end up making sense. But that's why, I had a list. I was like, do I use a chainsaw? Like, no, let's not go that route. But I mean, it was thought about, and that's funny. And there were other ideas that got scrapped for budgetary reasons or whatever. But the one thing that gets brought up the most is the level. There's a level that's on there. Oh, I've had people that are obsessed with the fact that I didn't use the level and have written me multiple times begging me to do a level kill in part two because I didn't deliver it in part one. And giving me ideas of here's how you can do it and this and that. So I think it has to happen, and the level has to happen in part two. I don't think it'll be, I mean, the way the script is right now, it's not a pegboard again, just because I did that. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to necessarily just rehash, retread, but I have to keep that momentum going, and I guess there has to be a level kill. Like, I've actually had people like threaten my life if I don't put a level kill.
Deleted scene.
Yeah. So I guess the level has to happen. I haven't figured out exactly how to do it yet. But I also we were prepared to shoot part two actually with a whole different script that's now it's been rewritten three times, but in 2019, we were ready to shoot. I had the script locked, and we did a small Indiegogo. We were ready to go, and then obviously the world shut down, and it didn't happen. But in, I don't know, maybe a manic episode of mine that I didn't know I was having, when I made the video for the Indiegogo, I didn't have a script. I don't like scripts. Unless I'm working on your movie, no to other directors, I'll read the script, I promise. But I didn't have a script for my pitch video. I put on the killer's coveralls from part one, and I climbed onto an inflatable raft and pushed myself into the middle of the pool from the movie and just started talking to the camera. And for some reason at the end of the video, like an idiot, I was, you do in a pitch video, I was like, and if we make our goal, we'll do this. And if we make over our goal, I'll add something crazy, like, I don't know, a boat chase. It was just the first thing that came out of my mouth. And then when I was editing the video, I'm like, I'll leave it in because one, we're never going to make our goal, so I don't have to worry about it. And two, we'll definitely not beat it by $5,000, so I definitely don't need to worry about this stupid idea that popped into my head. And sure as shit, like, 1 week into it, I was getting messages from people like, if you're not at that number by the day before, I will pay whatever is left because you're making a boat chase.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, what? And it did. There was one of those people, like, he's now a friend of mine, but he was like, hey, I'm going to make sure that you do a boat chase.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, you don't have, it's fine. You don't have to. And he's like, oh no, you are doing a goddamn boat chase. So I now owe a boat chase in part two. I don't know how I'm going to do it. Luckily, it could be anything. They could
stop
be
motion.
They could be remote control boats. They could be inflatable boats. It could be a sushi boat. I don't know. It could be a guy named Boat, and he's chasing someone. I mean, there's a lot of ways I could do it.
You do it right there.
Yeah, but I do have to deliver that.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to see that and see how you execute it.
Yeah. Boat chase, level kill. What else? Anybody else want to tell me something I have to do?
I'll do it.
Cast a one-eyed man. There's one right there.
Oh, yeah. We got time for a couple more questions if anybody has any.
When do you predict the second one to come out?
That's tough.
Tomorrow.
We're actually shooting it right now. There's a camera right there. No.
Who's gonna get killed?
Which one of you is gonna get killed on a level
this
right
one.
Now? Yes, there we go. Gail, the level kill. No, I was hoping to shoot it before the end of this year, but now realistically, I feel like it's already October. And I'm rewriting the script again because I'm also, like I said earlier, I'm stupid. But enough time has passed since 2019, and so many things have changed that every time I go back and read that one, I don't like it anymore. So I felt like I needed to rewrite it. So now I'm rewriting it again. So, but sometime next year for sure.
Hell yeah.
Like I have to. I owe people a boat chase.
Hey, I will fly out there to help you make this movie.
Or maybe I'll fly to Salem and make it.
Oh. Hell yeah.
I don't know, there's not that many pools here, though.
We'll create one.
Yeah, that's a shortage of pools. There is one in the big house that's for sale right by the park, though. It's,
Hell yeah.
But yeah, I hope next year for sure, or else I'll have to, like, I don't know, disappear. Go into hiding or something like that.
Yeah, no, what else is it going to double?
Yeah.
Do you have anything else?
How do you get Horse the Band involved?
I'm a big fan. I love Horse the Band. But Nathan, the singer, has been a friend of mine since like seventh grade. So that one was an easy one. I just sent him a text message. And I was like, hey, is there any way I could, you know, making a dumb slasher movie, is there any way I could use one of your songs? He's like, yeah, use any song you want. And then as I was going through all my CDs, I was like, wait, I should clarify. I'm like, hey, but I actually need, I'm like literally making a movie, so I need to be able to get released to use it. And he's like, oh shit, well then it can only be from our first album. Because, or whatever, Universal Music or whatever owns all the other ones. And, which is great, because that was my favorite album of theirs anyways. So, and that was on Combat Records, and I could actually just message the owner. And luckily he was like, sure, if you just give us a credit, you can use it, no problem. So, but luckily I knew them, which is how I got everything. I mean, there's a Fu Manchu song in there, and Bob, the lead guitarist of Fu Manchu, I've known since seventh grade also. The song at the end, like playing the Pool Party Massacre song, were people that just reached out to me when I released, I think I maybe released the poster or something. The movie wasn't done, and they had a song called Pool Party Massacre, or it was about a pool party massacre, and they just happened to see it and send me an email and say, hey, we have a song that says Pool Party Massacre in it. Is there any chance you would put it in your movie? And I was like, yeah, sure, let me hear it. Then they sent it to me, I'm like, yeah. I mean, the lyrics had nothing to do with the movie at all. And then I was like, yeah, I'll make it the end credits. And I'm like, well, shit, if you're gonna do that, can we rewrite the lyrics? And I was like, yeah, but can you do more work for me? Sure.
Hell yeah, man.
And they're great. And so they end up creating this song. So now it's like I have a title song for the movie. But again, it was just out of luck. So I didn't have to actually license anything. Or even the Debbie Does Dallas song. I didn't license that either. And there's a song, it's a much more obscure movie, but it's one of my favorite rock and roll kind of horror movies from the 80s or early 90s. It's called Shock 'Em Dead. Mm-hmm. And there's a track from the movie Shock 'Em Dead that's in there also when Blair's like changing her clothes in the closet. And it's just because I love that movie. And I reached out to the director and he was like, yeah, sure. I own the rights to all the music. Go ahead. So
it's all about things where
you just ask.
Yeah. How things work out sometimes is.
Sometimes.
It's pretty cool.
Sometimes you ask and they're like, yes, it'll be $200,000. And you're like, oh, never mind.
Hell yeah. I've got time for maybe one more. Go ahead.
Drew, I've been following you for a while. I'm amazed of your success. Yeah, getting people doing tattoo flashes of you.
Yeah.
And I just met you recently.
I just saw two.
You're just so humble. Are you going to continue to be this? It's amazing.
I saw two people wearing shirts with my face on them earlier.
Yes, yeah.
They're in this room.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I'm just amazed. How do you feel about this influx of people loving you?
It's strange. I pretend like it doesn't exist. That's how I cope. Because I'm not the type of person, I've never been able to take compliments well. I don't like to open gifts from people in front of them because I don't know if I'm like reacting properly. Like that's me. Like if you give me a gift for Christmas or my birthday, I'll be like, oh, I'll open it when I get home. Because I don't want there to somehow be like a cue that I'm unhappy or you've misread anything. Like I want everyone to be happy and don't worry about me and definitely don't compliment me. So it's weird. I just kind of ignore it and pretend like and just be myself.
So how are you going to feel when people stop mobbing you in the streets?
I don't know.
You know, it's just like, oh, can I get a photo with you? Like, how are you going to accept
that? I'm assuming that nothing will change.
No.
I'll just keep being myself, and it'll ruin my life and everyone involved in my life. No, that's who it'll affect the most is like my girlfriend and my kids, because they'll be annoyed that I'm taking time away from dinner.
Yes.
But I appreciate what you said was very complimentary.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. But yeah, I don't know. I just like I really do. I just pretend like it doesn't exist. I'm just one of you guys. I'm a horror fan and I'm a fan of movies and I go to events like this just to go. I still go to conventions just to go, like conventions that I'm not booked at as a guest. But if I like someone that's there or there's something playing I want to see or just people I want to meet, I'll go. Like, because I am a fan. I was a fan first, and that hasn't changed. Like, that's still who I am. I just happen to be also an actor and a filmmaker.
You're just a dude.
Yeah, and sometimes I forget all the shit that I've even done. Like, every time I do a podcast, people are like, what did you work on in the last year? I'm like, oh, Jesus, I don't know. No, I don't think anything. And they're like, well, we have your IMDb. It says you worked on this. I'm like, oh, yeah, I did. I'm in that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm in that. Oh, shoot, I'm in that.
Hell yeah.
It's like a running joke on social media now when people post like pictures or stills or trailers of movies I'm in, like on there was legitimately a couple times where I was like, hey, I think I'm in that on like my friend's posts. And now it's just, now I do it even when I know, like if somebody posts Pool Party Massacre, I'll be like, hey, I think I'm in that. But there's like I forget, like I work on so much that I forget what I'm doing and what I have done sometimes. And some of them take so long, like Dolly Deadly 2, Kill Dolly Kill, just premiered at Fantastic Fest last weekend. And I'm in that, but we shot it like in 2018, I think, or something like that. So I forgot I ever worked on it, or that it even existed. Even though my friend Heidi made it, it's just still, I forgot. I've already been in another one of her, or two more of her movies, whatever, since then. So then sometimes things come up and people are like, oh, I just saw you in this thing. I'm like, ah. You did? Am I in that? Oh, yeah, sure, I am. That's right.
Hell yeah. That's actually really funny because I wanted to leave off on this of you letting everybody know what they can go watch after this that you're in.
The Barn 2 on Screenbox.
Yeah.
Yes, The Barn 2 on Screenbox.
Barn 2 on Screenbox for sure. Everyone needs to watch The Barn 2. That's like one of the coolest projects I've ever worked on. If you haven't seen The Barn 1, you don't have to watch it first, but that's out there, I'm sure. But The Barn 2 is such a big, for an indie horror film that was crowdfunded and like made in like our circle with people, you know, in our orbit, like it's one of the biggest and coolest movies that I've worked on. And it took forever to make. It was a super long, like, passion project of Justin Seaman, the writer and director. And it has people like Joe Bob and Darcy and Linnea Quigley and Ari Lehman and you, me, Doug Bradley. Yeah. Like it's like a who's who of horror, not just indie horror, but a who's who of horror. So that's a really cool project. I'm trying to think. The only other movie I have on Screenbox is this movie, but you don't want to watch this again. No, you should watch it again. Then. Feel free.
Yeah.
But also, Murder Size is available. That just came out. Something else just came out. I don't even see. I don't even know what I'm in.
Well, what's upcoming that you know?
The next release that's supposed to come out at Christmas is Triple Xmas.
I'm excited for that.
Which there is a trailer out. If you look, well, I have to say Google Triple Xmas, so that's where it gets a little weird. Because the movie is XXX-MAS. And I don't know what will come up when you Google that, to be honest. I don't know if it's at a point where the movie comes up first or a bunch of porn comes up first. I'm not sure. I haven't tried it. But that's what the movie's about. It's Santa Claus kills a bunch of porn stars that are making a Christmas-themed porn movie. And I play the killer Santa. Hell yeah. But that was tons of fun. And that's, I just recorded the last bit of ADR for it, like right before I got on a plane to come here. So it's supposed to be out by Christmas. So it's not out yet. You can't go home and watch that.
All right. But stuff to look out for.
Soon, supposedly. But I think there's like 11 movies I'm in that are supposed to come out soon.
Yeah.
And some of them have been saying soon since 2017. So.
Well, keep your eyes out.
Yeah. Google me.
Well, Drew, this is a blast having you here. And thank you for everybody who came out and supported this. And for people who, I guess, weren't able to make it, but that's okay, because they supported cinema anyway.
Yeah.
And it's awesome to have you here in Salem for your first time and having a blast. It's great seeing you just roaming at 3 a.m. in the morning. Yeah. Realizing there's nothing going
on. I assumed everything in Salem, that would be when they were, like the witching hour. I was like, cool, we should show up at midnight, right? No.
Yeah.
I'm going to Salem, don't go at midnight. There's nothing.
No, this was a great time, so thank you everybody for being here.
And if you want your signed poster from the movie, they're outside on the table.
Hell yeah,
I'll sign it for you. I'll write whatever you want. I'll even sign someone else's name if you want.
Hell yeah.
You just tell me. But thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for being here. Seriously. It means a lot.
Alan, so you grab a pick of us. My phone died.
Yeah. Your phone died?
It died, dude.
It's embarrassing. All right.